Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Really appreciate you taking the time out. As one of my former priest friends used to say, mercy, mercy, mercy. You know, I'm running. My producer, Princess, she's running. We're all running. We need to all just take some time and chill and enjoy what God has to offer. I'm here in Central Florida, so it's always something beautiful to enjoy and give thanks and praise for. So, but I really appreciate you all being with us today. So last week, I started thinking about, you know, we had a couple of more exits from the president's administration for various reasons, and, you know, we've just kind of been watching the rotating door going in and out. And I was thinking about exit strategies. You know, do we all have one? We may not necessarily be in the same predicament as some of these people are, but, you know, we mostly talk about retirement as an exit strategy, but there are other things to think about. So I asked, and he graciously accepted, Chad Brown, career counsel that we've had on it, to come on and talk a little bit about, you know, exit strategies, you know, based on the various scenarios that we have going on in our lives. So, Chad, good morning. Are you there?
Good morning. Yes, I am. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for agreeing to do this. Really appreciate it. Because, like I said, we kind of narrow our focus a little bit in terms of planning an exit strategy, because there's more than just, you know, one or two scenarios. So let's talk a little bit about, though, I don't know if you can talk to it that much, but high-profile situations that these people were in, that they were, you know, in one day and they were out the next, you know, and I'm sure at first most of these people thought that this, they were in it for the long haul. And a lot of these people left on their own, and a lot of these people were, you know, without warning, booted out the door. And that happens on all levels. So can you talk a little bit about the exit strategy, I guess I want to start with, for the unexpected situations?
Yeah, definitely. And I'll try to, and let me know, but I think possibly I'll apply a lot of these to the kinds of clients that I work with and kind of within a career counseling setting, and hopefully some lessons that would apply, you know, valuably to, you know, to your listeners as well.
Okay, cool.
I believe that really a big part of the exit strategy process, from a career counseling, professional development perspective, is just being prepared, right? And I think a lot of times we look at this process sort of as an off and on situation of, I need to be totally on because I don't have a job and I need to look for a job. I need to, you know, update that resume, do all those things. And then once you're employed, whether you enjoy your job or not, then there's that sense of relaxation and then not really being as dedicated, you know, fully to the process of what I would a lot of times term as your professional brand. So more than just updating your resume, and thing maybe LinkedIn, you know, where we have very tangible ways that I can show you who I am in my history, things I've done, also hopefully my capabilities, you know, looking at the future. But more importantly, is really just owning that brand and making sure that you're staying up to date with your skills, any credentials that might hold you back from, you know, from transitioning into another career, either laterally or, you know, advancing. And then finally, the last part that I definitely want to always reinforce is networking and keeping your connections fresh. All kinds of statistics out there that support the fact that most people still, you know, even in the world of computers and applying online and all the job boards, most people still experience the greatest success when they have that network. You know, and I think those statistics go to getting you a job, but from a counseling standpoint, and, you know, and also maybe spirituality and other areas, you know, the importance of having a positive community that can support you in many different ways.
Okay, so you talked, one of the things that I was listening to when you were talking was about networking, because actually I didn't get the networking aspect as a young person. When I was coming out of college and, you know, there were suggestions made to me about, why don't you go ask your dad to talk to such and such? Why don't you go ask, you know, and I'm like, no, I want to do this on my own. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get it on my own merits, you know, and I'm smart and da da. You know, and just not really understanding the whole networking thing. It was something that I learned a little bit more later in later years. But, I mean, in the society that we live in, networking is in some ways more important than some of what you bring to the table out of school or out of other job experiences, because you a lot of times you just have people because you've been vouched for, that are willing to work with you. Is that not correct?
Oh, definitely. You know, it's all who you know, right? We hear that sometimes. But to your point also, once you show up and once you're applying for a job, you know, if you're applying to be a doctor and you never went to medical school, you know, or a licensed mental health counselor like myself, you know, but you haven't gone to school for that or passed the state licensure test you have to do that career. Yeah, obviously networking can only take you so far. But I think it's – and the way I always talk to clients about this and even just – and anybody is, you know, looking at all these are kind of different areas that you need to be working on, you know, different buckets to be filling up, you know. So – in the one, you know, hand, what we usually look at, like I said, is a lot of you're going to the online job board immediately and sending out the resume, and you know, but hopefully, even before you found the need to do that, there's already been development and even maintenance, you know, within those other areas. And the only other thing I want to mention too, that I agree with your observation of coming to understand the value and becoming comfortable with networking at a much later age in my life. And I think for just to speak personally, and I think what I see in others is that the quicker that you can become comfortable and, yeah, and I guess before comfort comes awareness, you know, once you become aware of who you are, what are your interests, what are your personality, you know, things that I measure on a formal level with clients. But once we get to know who you are, I do a lot of values exercises with clients as well. And then once we really get to know that foundation, as I said earlier, then understanding what do I want my professional brand to be? How do I want to represent myself when I interact with another person, you know, personally and professionally? It's who you are. And to me, that distinction made networking a lot more comfortable and easy than I think, again, the traditional way a lot of us feel like we have to do it.
I want to go back to kind of what I was alluding to in terms of, let's say you've been in a high-profile job. You know, it probably in your mind would have been the icing on the cake in terms of what goes on with you professionally. And then all of a sudden, you're kind of back out there again. And does that, when that happens, does that necessarily have to come with getting something may, you know, getting something that may require less of a profile, less of a, let's say, income also that comes with that. How do people handle that in some measure, a step down?
I see. Yep. Yeah, it's a good point because, you know, your career is very much tied to your identity and what you do, and even I think what we maybe sometimes see with salary and things like that, and whether it's prestigious position, elements like that. I think a part of what I'm considering with that is, and again, I'll bring it somewhat to that example and probably what my knowledge and applicable value would be here, it would be more generalized. But the point being, and to not get into the specifics of it or political, but I think
right.
It's interesting whenever that does happen, you know, at any level, even our, you know, level it might have happened to any of us, is being aware of how you can represent what did happen in the situation, but also an exercise I'll do a lot with clients is, you know, an exit explanation where, you know, something that concerns people a lot of times is I only worked here for so long, or maybe it was such a great prestigious position. You know, why did I leave that position? There's an exercise, you know, and basically for right now, understanding that you want to very quickly and positively be able to explain that and own the story. So in my mind, kind of going back to professional brand, and that's your story, I think what we sometimes do, and honestly, just because we don't know how to do anything else, is we leave things undefined. So, and unfortunately, that's where I tell people a lot of times that probably, you know, if you were going to bet, most people, unfortunately, are going to maybe give you less credit than you deserve than to give you more credit than you might deserve, you know, from a professional branding resume standpoint. So I think it's really important, and to go back to your question, even within that example, you know, not mentioning any names or speaking very negatively, but, you know, understanding, you know, saying, you know, a negative climate where I didn't think I could make progress. You know, within business standpoints, I always say the perfect example where you should always use this is if you ever got laid off or if they ever eliminated a company, you know, or a department in Central Florida, where I live as well. That is very important to make clear to an, you know, to the next person who's going to look at your resume and things like that, that your position was eliminated through no fault of your own. So I'll often tell people in those situations or situations like that, making sure that you're telling the reality of the situation, you know, don't make anything up here, but also explain very clearly to the reader where they might get an idea of, I understand why you made that decision for yourself. And typically the last thing I'll say is always, you know, tying that up to the future with positivity. So I'll often say, if it is for career and employment, yes, this had happened. Unfortunately, it happened, but it provided this opportunity that I'm really excited about. And I'm looking forward to, you know, possibly sitting down with you in an interview sometime very soon.
Okay. Sounds pretty good. Now, the thing about it is there's also a lot that I understand now, because it didn't happen in my earlier days, and it happens more now, where you have employers looking at social media to see, and how much credibility do employers give social media information?
Yeah, it's probably situation by situation. That's the way I would talk to somebody about it. But here's, and I agree with the observation, because some may not look at all. Some may have it formally as part of their process. And also to your question, how much do they actually care about that and hold that? To me, the observation, even if it was myself, is the fact that somewhere on that spectrum, somewhere within all those different companies, them probably is looking at it, and one of them probably is going to care. So we hear it all the time of, you know, please don't post this, you know, think about this. And I think for some people, it's a change of behavior and it's okay and they can own it. Obviously, it'll be interesting, I imagine, as we, you know, move more generationally, where, you know, younger people have lived their entire lives on social media. So that's an interesting, because the best practices, the best rule of thought with this is always don't post that on there. Someone's going to see it. You know, what are you thinking? However, I also understand that that's a very different way of thinking and being for not just young people, but, you know, a lot of people of all ages, you know, have different levels of how much they live their lives on social media and share things. And I suppose the only other side, and I'm not a huge social media person, but the only other thing that just came to me is, of course, I do believe you have a lot of flexibility within settings, right, where, you know, if you can limit it to not being public and showing everything to everybody, then that might be a good idea, a good start.
Yeah. We want to take a quick break, but when we come back, Chad, I want to ask you about something you alluded to, resumes, and I have a question about resumes. So we're going to talk about that and other exit strategies, forced or otherwise, with career counselor Chad Brown. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We invite you to call and ask Chad any questions that you might have at 516-387-1944. That's 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good morning and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We're talking about career exit strategies with career counselor Chad Brown. And Chad, you were mentioning the resume. Now, how often, whether you are secure in your job or not, or career or not, how often should you be updating your resume? And if things really haven't changed for you, as you notice things on your resume, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
So I would say, as far as updating the resume, I don't think you have to feel the pressure to formally update it or rewrite it or too often. My thought with it would be that really what you want to make sure you're taking the opportunity, and going to the second part of your question with seeing change or not seeing change, is the number one way that people can almost always increase the value, the power of their resume. And we often struggle when we look back at, you know, jobs that were over 10 years ago, are the accomplishments, the numbers. What did I actually do beyond the job tasks? And that I showed up and I accomplished what kept me employed, what did I do that was above and beyond, that was really great? How did I have an impact on something? Did I do a lot of something? Did I do it quickly? Did I save the company money? Did I make them money? You know, often those are the things that they're going to care about most. But any kind of other elements. And so, again, to your point, yes, those are elements I would definitely end up writing on my next version of my resume, but I would even just have something handy that as you're working for a company, you know, there's exercises that you can use for this. One is called the SOAR format, where it's an acronym for situation, obstacle, action and results. The results are the numbers. It can also be called the STAR format, the obstacle, sometimes used for task, the STAR. But just having something where in your back pocket, a file on your computer, where every time that you do a project, every time that you do something, being aware of how did I have an impact on this and what was my impact? And I think that goes to your second part of the question, where a lot of people may look at being employed in a position for a while and they've done exactly the same job title, many of the same activities, but what they want to really make sure that is being documented and utilized to your most advantage are those numbers, those things that really tell the story. So not just providing customer service, but how many people? Did you do this in an environment where you had to multitask and do lots of other things? What kind of people? You know, was it diverse, with different kinds of ages and all these kinds of things? And of course, last thing I'll say, is tied to what we're talking about, I believe, today, is all of those things we want to have on there to talk about how are they transferable? What does this have to do with what I want to now move on to in the next evolution of my career?
Okay. So, as you were talking, as I was thinking, the updating of the resume could actually be a wake-up call for you in determining, you know, yeah, I like my job, but it may not be working for me in terms of giving me additional knowledge or education about things that I should know. It may be a wake-up call in terms of saying maybe I've outgrown this job and it's time for me to move in a different direction, or a whole career change, in fact, by just maybe taking a look and, you know, reflecting back in terms of what you've done and then, you know, looking at also how to market yourself so in case you just feel like you're being pigeonholed. I know that was one of my issues a while back, was that, you know, the resume was saying one thing and what I felt that I had to offer or give was saying a whole different thing, and I had to figure out how to.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, too, one thing I'll say about that is always be open to those different experiences and that opportunity and how you can get from here to there, and totally understanding that that can seem very difficult, especially if you don't even understand how to get there. There's no bridge to get from here to there. However, what I always tell clients is, yes, there are often, of course, going to be employer situations where they're going to want to hire the person that fits the traditional mold, whether that's education, you know, with the typical degree to do that job, or experiences, things like that. But I guarantee you, just like we talked about earlier with social media, somebody is out there looking for somebody that can maybe bring, you know, a different, complementary, diverse approach to maybe everybody else who went to the same school with the same degree, where you can come in and say, I know how to bring a different perspective to this. The important part, however, is as you rewrite that resume, not only believing in yourself, but we have to make sure that they understand how you intend to accomplish that.
Now, in this process, I've listened to a lot of people or shows or whatever advising people to maybe start your own business. Now, but with that, there are various personality types. Not everybody can start their own business, or if they decide to start their own business, they may need a little help from what I found. For example, there's some people who's like, I just like to do the job. I don't want to get into the minutia of handling the business aspect. So how
sure.
do you make that determination, let's say your exit strategy may be to be a you know, business owner?
To start your own thing? It's a classic observation. I run into it personally and professionally. I'll start very briefly from the personal side. My interest, I'm a counselor at heart. I'm a career counselor. I enjoy marketing to a bit. I do not enjoy, and as we're on April 17th today, I do not enjoy taxes and counting financial analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I've shared on a previous show, I did get my MBA, and I've worked in the mm-hmm. international business before I went back to the counseling. Even then, before I formally utilized assessments, and I knew these things about myself. And this is a discussion I'll have with people regarding entrepreneurship and startups, because I think especially as I see with lots of career selection, one of the major influences often is the media, where people want to, say, for example, get into forensic science because of Dexter, CSI, these kinds of things. And I think we have somewhat the same influence with entrepreneurship. Overall, I'm happy. I'm happy that lots of people look at entrepreneurship. We have shows like Shark Tank and other examples. However, what I think my fear, as always, with the media influence on careers and career decisions, is it doesn't mm-hmm. always show as much of that reality, right, the day-to-day. So, for example, there are things that come just totally naturally to me as I run and operate my own business. I actually enjoy doing them, but there's others that completely plague me and I don't want to do them at all. The biggest element for an entrepreneur is going to be, first of all, figuring out where they are, what stage in their life, and who's there with them, because entrepreneurship is a very big decision to be making that could impact your family, a partner, mm-hmm. and children, and things like this as well. But once you've made that decision, then really moving forward and looking at what is going to come naturally, where are my skills, and then I see really a fork in the road here. On the other side of what am I not, what doesn't come naturally? Either I don't know about it, maybe I will like it, maybe I know I don't at all. But I'm either going to have to learn these things and get good at them myself, or, for my example, I don't pay anybody to do marketing, all these things for my business. The one thing that I just reserve a small part of my budget is to have somebody review my corporate taxes. I do all my own QuickBooks, and I try to, learn how to do it in a way where I can handle it, but I also acknowledge my limitations, where something becomes a foreign language to me, and it's just entirely different. And, of course, coming back to your question, that's the implication of entrepreneurship, is that if you're going to start this, then you'll need to be prepared to possibly wear every single hat.
Now, The other thing to consider is, like I said, having other people to do certain things for you, or in certain cases, there's always a suggestion or a requirement that you have a board of directors or whatever, depending on, how you decide to handle your business and how you decide whether or not you decide to incorporate or go sole proprietor or whatever the case may be. Now, the thing is, a lot of people who, let's say, want to go into business because they enjoy the experience they've had working for someone else and want to go out and do it on their own, a lot of people, and they may have new ideas for what they want to do, a lot of people are, let's say, concerned or apprehensive about having other people as part of the decision-making process, or giving the yay or nay on what they do with their business. So is there a way to, kind of strike a balance between having, I guess, some sort of creative license with what you do in terms of your own career, your own business, and having to have officials to kind of help keep the boat steady in terms of an actual business?
Sure. Here was my thoughts as you were talking about, is I definitely agree that it's helpful if you're going to be doing entrepreneurship, not to feel that you have to do it all on your own. And so, again, going back to what we talked a little bit about earlier, supportive communities, whatever that looks like and feels like to you, and whether that's a formal professional or it's personal, I think both have their advantages in place. One thing I've considered for a while, and I want to just point out with the concept of having something like a board of directors. I talked to somebody about this for a while who had expertise in this area, and they really enlightened me on the idea of, would you want an advisory board versus a board of directors? And for me, if I ever do this, it's going to be an advisory board where people that I respect and they can tell me things, but at the end of the day, it's still my company and I can make whatever decision I choose or choose not to make, versus where you're starting to become more legally and formally involved. And that's a classic thing we see, though, however, right, where that can go great, where I need to maybe bring experts and more people into this process, and I'm willing to give up some control, even maybe stake in my company, and now I become a great success. It could also go completely the wrong way, that, you know, in that situation. So there is, unfortunately, this is where life is difficult, is that it's situational, right? It's assessing the people in the room, you know, assessing myself, what's going on. Do I think this is a good decision or not? But for me, it goes back to what I mentioned of making sure that you're not overcommitting and getting yourself into any kind of situation. I think you could also see that a lot in startups where possibly it's you and several other entrepreneurs, or, you know, an entrepreneur and a couple joining a company where they, you know, two guys in their garage, right? However, it goes back to that same concern of, when do we bring in more people and more resources, but are there any consequences that might come with that?
We're talking to Chad Brown, who is a career counselor, and we're talking exit strategies, whether or not you are asked to leave, you resign, you're fired, you're laid off, you retire, whatever the situation is. We're talking about how to kind of make yourself ready for those type of situations. The number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944 if you have questions of Chad. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Dimp Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are talking about career or job exit strategies, no matter what the situation is, whether or not you are asked to leave or you leave on your own, or, you know, maybe it's a temporary leave, whatever the case may be, and or resignation, or retirement. And I wanted to ask you, okay, sometimes you can get little things happening that kind of give you an indication that your job may be on the line, whether it's something with the company that's going south or something that you may have heard about your own position, or you know, they may be downsizing or whatever that is. Do you cut and run? Do you make a plan to cut and run, or do you kind of wait it out? Do you see whether or not you're going to be offered some sort of package to depart? What do you do?
It's a good question. It's a very difficult situation to be in. I think it relates a lot to many of the factors that we discussed earlier of personal, meaning individually, but also family, you know, children, where you are you raising, you know, parents, are you helping them, things like that. And then also professionally, where you are in your career, I imagine, right? So, yeah, am I just starting? Am I in my 20s and I'm ready to try anything, anywhere? I'll go anywhere in the world. I'm really just trying to work maybe 5 more years, and then that's when I really plan on retiring anyways. Those are major influences on that decision. I think the other that's not looking internally, personally or professionally, is, you know, look the other way, right? And look at, and this is something I see so much with clients, of looking at the company and why is this change happening? So is change happening in a total negative way? What are these people thinking, these executives? This place is falling apart. You know, let's get out of here. That's an easy decision. Or what I think is more common and is more difficult of we are making some decisions that theoretically, as we're telling you, as we're promising you, are going to lead to bigger and better things. And if you're willing to stand it out and work with us, then there's maybe the grass is greener on the other side. I think a lot of it goes back to what we talked about earlier, kind of the first thing I believe we had talked about, of maintaining everything we just talked about, thinking about what is my best decision on any given day, at any given hour, but making sure that you have all the resources behind those decisions ready to go, right? So it's one thing to say, I'll cut and run and I'm going to leave, but if we haven't thought about our resume and it's over, you know, 6-7 years old, we haven't professionally engaged with anybody, so we have no network, all these factors where that doesn't necessarily mean you have to then stay, but what I often tell people is look at your situation with yourself and other people in your lives and let's figure out when is the right time and everything that I believe you've been bringing to this today of what is the right exit strategy that's unique for me, you know, and the people in my life that's most important.
Okay, because one of the reasons I asked you that, because I've heard in a lot of cases people will tell other people, wait and let them, you know, some people are like, you know, if I get fired, it looks bad. And then some of the other people have said, well, wait and let them fire you, because if for no other reason, it's the whole unemployment thing. If they fire you, you can collect unemployment. If you leave on your own, then you have an issue. But the thing about it is, like you said, in either case, you really, because collecting unemployment isn't all that good either. You don't get what you were paid when you were employed. So that's not necessarily something to rely on. It's a help if you have to have it. But like you were saying, you have to kind of already have a backup plan in place.
Sure, yeah. The only other situation that's similar to that I can see sometimes is if they might offer a severance package or some benefits package, if they did have to release a whole department of employees or something like that. And again, that's where I have empathy and I understand that decision-making can be hard because you might see that the walls are crumbling around you, but if you wait until you're completely buried and they have to let you go, then you might get a benefit from that. And that's a personal decision-making on is that benefit worth the stress and having to go through that experience. Could I get more than that benefit will ever mean if I go ahead and work on something on my own? There's never an answer that will always be true to any of these. But I think for me, the option, the point is, you know, to give yourself those options.
Okay. So now, even for the people that have made the plan, or what they consider they put away, they have a nest egg, and we are talking about those people that are planning for retirement. Even those people, things happen. And retirement is nothing like it used to be when our parents mm-hmm. were talking about retirement. A lot of the things that used to be in place for retirees are no longer there. More and more employers are asking the employee to manage their own retirement, create their own retirement funds and stuff like that. So even for those people that think they have it together, what might they be missing when they're talking about retiring?
And I think this is a great point. I'm really happy we got here today, because this is a population that I've even seen a lot that I unexpectedly. Typically, when I talk about who I work with, I say students and professionals, young and experienced. But I've started to see a lot of professionals who don't want to retire in the traditional American way, right, of 65 years old, sit in a rocking chair on the front porch and do nothing for the rest, and just sit out the days and let your grandkids come visit you. Everybody, still wants to be active and do something. We're living longer. To your point, unfortunately, we might be drawn back into work through lack of financial support. But I also am seeing a lot of voluntarily reentering the workforce. Or what I would actually say, is not only entering the workforce, but just mm-hmm. finding what is your sense of purpose, right? Mm-hmm. As you evolve into one of the final stages of your career and your professional life, and even into your personal, what I often see maybe is, what do I want to give back? How do I want to bring all of that wisdom, those resources? So that could be entering the workforce traditionally as you did. It could be a part-time job. Some other things that I think are very meaningful, and I've seen success with experienced professionals that are struggling with traditional retirement, are things like volunteering on a board, things where, and volunteering as well, but particularly, like I said, what do particularly experienced professionals have of value that they can give back to professionals, but also to their community? Whether it's even mentoring students, things like that. So again, it sort of depends on your life situation, I believe, and whether that needs to be a paid opportunity that includes benefits, whether it can be part-time, or whether, like I've seen, and I think we're going to see a lot more of, you just don't want to sit at home, alone all day and not having to go to work anymore. You want to find something that's meaningful and that you're passionate about.
And right now, mentoring is a big deal. People are asking for mentors all the time to come out to the schools and people who are having trouble finding the right careers for them, younger people, could benefit from someone who is retired and saying, we know some things have changed, but some things are basic, and these are the things that help me be successful in this particular career. That's a big area where a lot of people who are retiring could turn their focus to help someone be more successful, because, we have a lot of people coming out of college, and they've done their 4 years, and I hate to say they've done their 4 years, it's like they've been in prison, but I mean, basically, they've gotten their degree and everything, and they've followed the program, so to speak. And it's not paying off. So some of those people are having to return home or get one or two other jobs that have nothing to do career. And then also, too, when one person takes two jobs, that leaves one job that leaves a job that somebody else does not have. So mm-hmm. it's interesting that you talk about people coming out, because, I know my father, he retired, and then he did go and get a part-time job for a while. I think part of, it may have been financial, but I think for him it was more about missing some of the socialization that comes with having a regular job. So it's not just the financial planning aspect of it. It's like your lifestyle is going to change quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you manage that? Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, I'm going to ask you some more questions. You've had some really good tips. And like I said, just watching a lot of this revolving door stuff and seeing the kids that are coming out of college and what they're up against and all that, it just made me want to kind of bring you on to kind of ask, you know, how do we make this plan? So we're talking about exit strategies with career counselor Chad Brown. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Demp Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks for being with us today. We are here with Chad Brown. He is a professional career counselor here in Central Florida. And I asked him to come on because I was observing just a lot of the revolving door that was happening with our administration and then also with our college students coming out looking for, you know, a place to land. But the thing about it, too, they need to have a plan in case something doesn't necessarily work in that particular chosen career, or if you're retiring, or if you get fired, or you get laid off. I was asking Chad a whole bunch of questions because I figured he had all of the answers. So if you have a question in the next 10 minutes, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. So, Chad, what other things? You were talking about what you are seeing now in the wake of people who, you know, thought they were out of the career game, getting kind of back in, or they're changing. What other things are you seeing?
Yeah, I think sort of looking at the end of the career, as you just talked about, of whatever that means of well, what I say a lot of times is people have to discover their personal purpose, but also developing their professional potential. So really your professional potential and your purpose, I do believe, is something that evolves and changes throughout our lifetimes. And I think it's always been that way. And ideally and luckily, we have a lot of systems that do support this nowadays versus maybe in the past where people were forced into certain types of careers or certain kinds of work environments were not appropriate for them. They could have been way more productive and happy. However, I do think with all of the choices, it gives people a lot of uncertainty, right? It's I know a lot of times they say that you can – that you just become completely overwhelmed and just stuck and not even knowing what step do I take first? What's the first choice I should take that leads me to all these other ones? And perhaps leading to where, you know, what you were talking about earlier, when you look at younger people. And one of the things that very honestly that I think we have to talk about, and I will talk about with high school students, is let's figure out who you are and what you want mm-hmm. to do, and then figure out what the best options are. And maybe college isn't something you need to do.
Right.
I'm going to meet with somebody later today who's a high school student, and the number one career she has interest in and that's been formally assessed and we've talked about. She's passionate about it. Does not require any kind of college degree. It may be an associate's degree at the most if she wants to be kind of a higher level, entry level person within there. And I think that's important that who is part of the decision-making process there and who it influences. So also looking at family, where this is a family member. I've talked to the mother who says, I would, of course, support my child if they want to go on to an advanced degree, but we're not wealthy. You know, we don't want to just send them off to college for the sake of going to college. And I often say with clients, you know, we really want to make sure you get your return on investment, from that process. And not just money, but, time, energy, because that's another one that can really – I think it should be explored, but it can also cause a lot of anxiety when somebody has spent so much time and money and energy I wonder what would have happened if you had tried to enter a career, if you didn't need that degree and you now had 3 or 4 years of work experience, and no college debt. And of course that's not always works out that well, but the point is that it could, and that we need to look at both sides, have a conversation. And I think regardless of whether it's family, friends, professional helpers, but back to that supportive community, this is a lot for any one person to figure out all on their own. So I think it's helpful to have those resources, but also just kind people that can kind of process the, all these very, what I always tell people is, this is one of the most important decisions of our entire lives, of what we want to do with our lives and how we want to do it. And often we have a lot of struggle in this process. We don't always have the best resources and elements to help us in the decision making.
Right. Because even though, we may be talking about the beginning of a career, it still matters in terms of when you plan your exit strategy. For example, we talk about right now that there's a nursing shortage. So I'm sure there's a lot of people are saying, well, you should go into, medicine. You should go into nursing because there's a shortage. And so there'll be a guaranteed job. Well, that's good if that's something that's your calling. That's something that you really want to do. That's something that you like. But at the same time, if 20 years down the road, when it's time to retire and everything, you found that you've been miserable the past 20 years, and then you're trying to figure out, what do I do from here because I don't want to be unhappy for the next 20 years. It may not be the thing for you to do. So you kind of have to assess early on what the game plan should be. And the reason I say should rather than is because game plans change. So you make the game plan with knowing that there may be something in your life that's going to change the game plan, whether it's something that happens in society, something economically, something personally in terms of your life, your health, a loved one's life or health, birth, death, marriage, whatever the case may be. There are so many factors. But you actually do have to have a game plan. You have to have a target and just know that it may deviate, but you could get on the target, or you may get close, or you may find yourself going on a totally different trajectory just because of whatever happens. But you have to have the plan in place from the beginning.
Agreed. Yeah, I like that idea of a plan, and that oftentimes with young people, I don't remember if I might have said this on a previous show, but I always see the younger people typically wish they had more answers, and they wish they had more experience, and they had all this figured out, and they were, starting in their career already. The experienced person oftentimes will say, oh, I wish it didn't say I did that for 10 years on my resume, and these kinds of things, right? And I wish I could start all over it, or why did I go to school for that, And so it's really interesting how, and of course the answer from my perspective as a career counselor is the young people have all the opportunity, and that's okay, but they probably need to gain a ton of self-awareness and also go fall down a couple times and learn from that. But the experienced person, what I'll always tell an experienced professional, and even somebody who may have been retired and coming out of retirement, as we've talked about, is you have those advantages of so much more self-awareness than an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old who's learning just as much about themselves as they are about whatever they're studying in college.
Right.
And so I always go with that with a professional, and not just on a personal counseling angle, but what does that mean professionally? You know, back to your brand, you know, what do you represent? Yes, where were you employed? What did you do? Your formal brand. But also, how do we embody that? When somebody talks to you, how do they know that you are really passionate about finance or marketing, you know, or customer service, these kinds of things? And I think, like you said, having a plan is definitely required, should be there, and just want to completely agree with your observation that it's flexible. It evolves, but we should at least always be trying it and revising it and checking in on our plan. Absolutely.
Right. And then have a backup plan. If you got a chance to do what you love, what would that be? That would be the first thing. But then if you couldn't do that, then what would you do? And then maybe have kind of a backup plan geared around that. But just, you know, life's too short to be miserable all the time. So just make sure it's something, like you said, that you can bring your passion to and some experience to, and also always be willing to learn.
Absolutely.
That's the other thing. Yeah. So.
And one last thing for me that I wanted to make sure I mentioned was an observation I've seen a lot lately in the last 6 months, and something I'm really making sure to mention to certain clients, is your interests and what you do when you show up to work. That doesn't necessarily always mean that you have to work within certain environments or that you can't. And what I mean by that is, for example, if somebody is very interested in healthcare, but they say, I could never be a doctor. It's not what I'm interested in, or maybe time in your life financially, I don't think I could go into that. But what I'll tell them, you know, locally here, we have two very large hospitals, you know, $1 million, thousands of patients go there all the time. There's tons of people that work in those settings, you know, within the marketing and the finance and the customer service and every single thing, right? You know, administrative type roles. And so I always invite people to think about career that way. Think about what you do and what you and what's your brand and what do you bring to a job. But also look at the culture of the organization. What do they do? How do they do it? And how you feel, you know, being part of that team.
We have a couple minutes left, and like I said, just wanted to talk to you about, you know, career and career exit strategies, because so many different things are happening. We're seeing like the what they're calling the retail apocalypse right now, where a lot of these businesses are closing, and usually retail involves a whole ton of people working to kind of, you know, get the sales done, get in, you know, working with different customers and everything. And now a lot of these people are going to kind of be out there looking for something else. And like I said, I know we don't have much time left, but I did want to touch on the technology aspect in terms of what it's doing in terms of, I guess you could say, downsizing, in terms of, you know, the more technology seems like it's being used, the fewer people you seem to have a need for in these situations. How do people cope with that, real quick?
I can provide a great real quick answer to that. Yes, we're obviously going to see more automation, more technology in all of our careers. What I always tell people, somebody has to build and repair the robots, right? So
right.
Essentially what I mean by that is just update your skills and your, you know, so that you can work alongside this technology, work with this technology. And technically, I believe a lot of the statistics show that it's going to create more jobs, if you think about the way I just talked about it. Rather than look at just the job that it's purely going to replace if you don't update your skills in any way.
Okay, so we're looking at more of a career change than a career ender type of thing, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Chad, thank you so much. Chad Brown, career counselor, really appreciate you taking the time today. Thanks.
Thank you. Anytime, anytime.
And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. Have a blessed day, everyone. Join us tomorrow for Tech Thursday, the third Thursday of the month on G's Power Hour. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
Gotta be